Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning as we celebrate Christ's entrance into Jerusalem on what's called Lambing Day, as the children of the church will bring in palm branches here in just a few more moments. If you haven't done so, we'd like to encourage you to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your next door neighbors to sign. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service today. We'll be back there shaking some hands. Please drop by and let us know that this is your first time, and we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. And this afternoon at 3 o'clock, everyone is welcome to join the children of our church and their families and friends for the Easter activities for the youngest among us. Several of our youth will be putting on the play entitled The Empty Tomb, A Story of Hope. It'll start here in the sanctuary, and many other fun activities will then follow for the children throughout the afternoon. Everyone is certainly invited, so please do come back at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Before that, though, at 12:30, there'll be a volunteers meeting with Katie Turner for those who would like to volunteer for a few tasks at the health fair, which will be the Saturday after Easter on April 27th from 10 to 2 here at the church. The volunteers meeting will take place, I believe, in the fellowship hall if you're interested in attending that. Then, of course, the health fair itself on the 27th is open to the congregation and the surrounding community. Today is our last Sunday to make contributions for the flowering of the cross that will take place during both services, 8:30 and 11 o'clock services. Next week, Easter Sunday, there's a flyer inside your bulletin if you would please indicate if you wish to make a contribution in memory of or in honor of somebody, and place that flyer along with a check for your donation in the offering plate later in this morning's service. The cost of the flowers is a little over $700, so everyone's donations are certainly appreciated. And then a list of those names that the flowers are dedicated to will be printed in next week's bulletin. Our Maundy-Thursday service will be at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary this coming Thursday, April 18th. Last year, we emphasized the bread of the Lord's Supper, and this year, our focus will be on the cup of God's new covenant. So please plan to attend at 7 o'clock this coming Thursday. Then, of course, on Easter Sunday, next Sunday, please remember that our early sunrise service will be at 6:45 in front of the sanctuary. Then our Easter breakfast for everyone will follow that service at between 7 and 7:15 in the fellowship hall. Our thanks to the Egret family for hosting this event once again. On Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning, you're welcome to come and help prepare the flowers for the flowering of the cross. And that preparation of flowers is quite a task, so if you can come and help us do that, that would be greatly appreciated. And you probably saw back in the back, Barbara Mayberry and Gail Gentry are now signing up folks for photos to be taken for the new church directory. If like me, you walk past their table and they reach out and trip you on your way past, that means you haven't signed up yet. So please sign up for an opening at your earliest convenience. And please also read through the bulletin announcement page to learn about other upcoming activities in our fellowship here at Berea Christian Church. There's also a fresh weekly sign-up sheet in the back to help drive the Jacobo kids to and from school this week. We certainly appreciate all of our drivers' help to support our family and kids. And Kathy has a few words to share with us.
Please rise for the call to worship. Rejoice, rejoice, people of Zion. Shout for joy, you people of Jerusalem. But humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Your king will make peace among the nations. He will rule from sea to sea, from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. Let us sing hymn number 537, stanzas 1 and 4.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you, Annalise Jacobo, for lighting our candle for us this morning. May we bow in a word of prayer. O Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus into the city and into our lives. We get caught up in the excitement of the crowd and of this holiday season. We anticipate the victory over the forces of death that we know to be part of the Easter season of new life and new beginnings. Dear Lord, we seek the courage to continue our walk with Jesus as we approach the cross. We seek to follow Christ and not betray him. Help us to empty ourselves of false intentions and to open ourselves to your will, just as Jesus Christ did. Walk with us, Lord, and lead us from denial to affirmation and from death to life. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. At this time, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of page 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. How are you guys? Look at all these beautiful faces up here this morning. I'm telling you. Are we lucky or what? We are a lucky church to have this many beautiful kids in our church. What have I got here? Do you know what these are? You are right. We have one here, a glass one, and then we have this little plastic guy over here. So, here's my question. Which one of those do you think holds more? What? What? Kind of looks that way, doesn't it? Oh, you know. Actually, they hold the same amount. What? I'm telling you. They both hold one cup. You know why? Because of the way they're shaped, huh? That one's kind of a fat little thing, isn't he? Yeah. Well, see, when I have these in my cabinet, it always surprises me, too, that they both hold the same amount. Because it looks like this one should hold quite a bit more, doesn't it? Well, this kind of gave me an idea that kind of goes along with our Easter theme. Easter is all about a time when Jesus rose from the dead, and a little while down the road, he sends the Holy Spirit, doesn't he, to be inside of us. So we have the Holy Spirit in us, and we have the love of Jesus, and we have great big faith. Well, this reminds me that even little ones can have great big faith. You can have great big love for Jesus. You can have great big love for other people. And you can be filled up with all kinds of faith, just like the adults. You don't have to be big. You don't have to be old. You can be very little, like this one over here. Or you can be very old, like some of us out here. I'm not naming names. But Jesus gives us all the same amount of faith. He says, yes, if you believe in me, you have it. You are saved, and you have great big faith. So let's remember, doesn't matter how little you are. Doesn't matter how big you are. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. Jesus will give you great big faith in your heart if you just ask him to. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for this gorgeous day. Thank you for these beautiful children. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who came to give us that great big faith and fill our hearts with love. Let us share that love and that faith with others in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we have the privilege to go before God in prayer, we want to lift up for those of you that may have known him, that Buddy Aikman. Passed away this past Wednesday based on some word we got during the early service. We We want to lift up John and Dorinda Hoke, as again, John is dealing with cancer as a result of that tumor behind his right eye. And also, Dorinda's sister, Clarissa, has been here the last few days as Dorinda is still out and about striving to go about the business of the craft fairs, which is, you know, her sole avenue of income. So I want to mention that meals are being provided for the family, and if you would like to participate in that process, talk with Rita Dyer or Mary Jane Adams as we are getting that organized. We also are delighted, Michelle, that you are present with us. God bless you today. We're glad you and Jesus are both here. We lift you up in prayer every day, and we also remember Jessica as she's anticipating the birth of her second child any day now, right? So God bless you all. We want to lift up David Egret's girlfriend, Skylar. She is 23 months pregnant and, or excuse me, 23 weeks. Bless her heart. You know, and I even wrote it that way. Bless you. That's what you get for a man saying things about this. 23 weeks would be about 6 months. But anyway, we want to lift up that Skylar and also David's daughter, Rosa, were both involved in a rollover accident this past week where the SUV rolled over multiple times trying to dodge something that was in the midst of the highway, so an object that didn't belong there, obviously. They are both doing okay, kind of bruised up a bit, but thankfully they were not injured severely. But please remember them in prayer. But we also want to celebrate that Noah Egret and other band members of the Truman High School participated in the Cherry Blossom Parade at the Mall in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Right, David? So a wonderful occasion for Noah, and also I understand that Robin and Jessica were also able to be there for the occasion, right? So many congratulations to Noah and the other members of the Truman High School Band. We want to continue to remember Catherine O'Neill in prayer. We want to remember that Harry Booth's artery the valve replacement surgery is now planned for the 22nd of April. Bryce Stamen, who attends the early service, he's looking at a knee surgery on the 24th of April. We continue to remember Betty Barnes, and we lift up Jill Gregory. We lift up Roger and Barbara Blakely's daughter, Michelle, and Linda Stevens' daughter, Lisa, and the mother of Linda's grandson, Dylan. Her name is Cindy, as she's dealing with cancer. And Val Stringer has moved to a facility called Senior Star at Rexford Place, off of, Crosby Avenue. So if anybody wants the address and wants to go by and visit Val while she's there, I've got that information. So I think these are all the people we need to remember in prayer. And may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful God, as this Palm Sunday acknowledges Christ as King, we know Jesus' followers waved palm branches and blanketed Christ's pathway with their outer garments. We're humbled by the fact that your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, chose to depart from the glories of your heavenly kingdom to become that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our rebellious sinfulness. We recognize that on this day in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago, as Jesus rode upon the donkey, he was proclaiming that he wished to become the King of Peace and not a king of dictatorial authority. We recognize that the expectations of the throng of onlookers and participants varied widely, realizing that each of our expectations of Christ, even today, vary greatly based upon our own personal experiences and needs. But whatever challenges may fall upon us, individually or collectively, may all of us first and foremost recognize Christ as Lord of all, as he offers eternal salvation to everyone. For as Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is one God and Father of all humanity who is Lord of all, works through all, and is in all. And so, God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving as we are given the privilege to gather here and offer up worship to you this Palm Sunday. As we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God, and as we remember how Jesus teaches his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verses 6 through 11. And you may find that in your pew Bible on page 984 and 985. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. This is part of the story of God as told by the people of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
In the Gospel of John, the first chapter, the 29th verse, John the Baptist sees Jesus coming from a distance, and he proclaims to his own disciples, "Behold, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It was a bold proclamation for John the Baptist, but one that brought forth much hope for people who had been hearing the prophecies of the coming Messiah for generations. As we gather at the Lord's table on this Palm Sunday, may we be aware that we acknowledge that the host of this table is in fact the one through whom our sins are forgiven, and he is the portal to God's eternal kingdom available for all who believe. Our communion hymn this morning, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of hymn number 585, please.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with the load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.'" And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Michelle leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Jesus, please bless these emblems as we gather at your table. May this meal serve as a reminder of our commitment to you and the love you share with us. May our lives today be to your honor and glory. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. In the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus, instructions are given for the type of lamb to be used for the Passover meal, which of course was the origin of what we call our Maundy Thursday. The text says, "Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats." But you know, having watched a number of the younger children back in West Texas raising their goats and sheep for the annual FFA shows, trying to find an exactly one-year-old male goat or lamb without any defects, injuries, or even blemishes of color on the animal's coat was a really tall order. Imagine how many animals were actually passed over in that quest year after year after year to find that unblemished one-year-old lamb. That took a lot of planning and a lot of work. These guidelines established by God remind even we suburban dwellers just how carefully prepared and thoughtful God expects our gifts to be given, even in our time. After all, our gifts are meant to be an expression of thanksgiving for what God has already done for us. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Christ is our Passover, sacrificed for us. With these thoughts in mind, Tom leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Gracious God, help us be open and generous with you, knowing that our gifts will be used to enhance your work and be a blessing to those in need. Please bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Well, for the Lord's Supper, did you notice that the grape juice wasn't grape juice? Okay. Well, we'll explain. Several weeks ago when I was trying to go get more grape juice to replenish our supply, couldn't find any. It was just for some reason, it was just completely out. And so I knew I couldn't turn water into wine. And so we decided we better do the next best thing, so we went with cranberry juice. So we're going to have that for a few weeks till we run out of that supply. And I want you to know there are some grape juice bottles in the background behind that, but use the cranberry first because it's the oldest stuff, right? But anyway, actually, I thought maybe you'd be thinking it was just because it was Palm Sunday or something, right? But no, it's more pragmatic than that. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful God, we're privileged to be in your house and to know, even as you convinced Philip the skeptic, so also you can convince the skeptics among us that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Found a poem about a skeptic, thought I'd share with you, and what perked me up when I was reading it for the first time is I noticed it was talking about things of which I was familiar with, because we used to live on the southwest corner of what is called White Rock Lake in Dallas. We used to be the first original reservoir for the Dallas area. And this particular poem actually talks about this area. So if some of you have some affiliation with the Dallas area, you'll catch on with this. The poem says, "Let me meet you on the mountain, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to burn a whole bush, just a few smoking branches, and I'll surely be your Moses. Let me meet you on the water, Lord, just once. It wouldn't have to be on White Rock Lake, just on a puddle after the annual Dallas rain. And surely then I'll be your Peter. Let me meet you just on the road, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to blind me on North Central Expressway. Just a few bright lights on the way to the chapel, and I would surely be your Paul. Let me meet you, Lord, just once, anywhere, anytime. Just meeting you in the Word is so hard sometimes. Must I always be your Thomas?" Now, what I found interesting about this poem, as I was thinking about skepticism, is how the skeptic in the poem is always making a requirement of who? Of God. In other words, God, if you'll just do this for me, well, then that's what it'll take to convince me. The poem reveals that deep down inside, often unbeknownst to themselves, or maybe we should say unbeknownst to ourselves even, skeptics really like to be in control. That's what's at the heart of skepticism. Control. As a skeptic, you need not bow before the presence of God. You can feel like God has to prove something to you, as if somehow you're more inferior than God is, or you're greater than God, right? As a skeptic, you can feel safe in the status quo, for nothing seems capable of upsetting the norms around you. Change is scary. Change is challenging. There's great assurance in the known and great fear in the unknown. As a skeptic, you are by the book, always calculating. For in being a bean counter, you find comfort in the facts, in that which is known, and in the rules. And among the apostles, we discover rather quickly that Philip is a skeptic. Skeptics are good folks to put in charge of details because they will keep a close watch on all of them. The skeptic Philip, it seems, was actually put in charge of the meals and the lodging for not only the apostles, but for that entire entourage of people that followed along with Jesus. We discover this in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, especially in John's Gospel, the 6th chapter. Look at verses 5 and 6 with me. Jesus looked around, and there he saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" Now the next verse says that Jesus did this to actually test Philip, that Jesus actually knew what he was going to do. But then in verse 7, the text says, Philip, again, remember, he was in charge of what? Arrangements for food and lodging. Philip answered. Well, he answered only after he had calculated everything he could figure out by looking across the vastness of this crowd of people. Now, when we say the feeding of the 5,000, you know, again, remember, the Bible only is mentioning the men, 5,000 men. If you add women and children to that group, we're probably looking at about 20,000 people all gathered out across this plains area in front of this hillside that Jesus is at and where he had been preaching. And after Philip kind of peruses the scene and does a little bit of math in his head, he says to Jesus, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough food." Now, a silver coin, talked about here in some versions of your Bible, is actually a denarii. It was the equivalent of a day's wage for a common laborer needed to sustain one's daily allotment of food. One denarii in this time period could buy 12 wheat biscuits. But you know, Philip would have been calculating in his head, well, wait a minute, wait, wheat's more expensive. What can we do? How about barley? Well, we could buy 20 barley loaves with a denarii. But then thinking about the crowd and just counting up everything, you know, well, how many denarii would it take to feed this many? How about if we take the barley loaves, we'll cut them in half. Everybody gets a half. And so he says, it'll take 200 denarii to feed all these people. But what he's basically saying to Jesus is, hey, it's going to take more money than anybody has to feed this vast crowd. What we also have to understand as we look at Mark's version of the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is that not only is Philip chiming in on this whole idea about, hey, Jesus, this is impossible, we understand from Mark's account that all the disciples kind of begin to chime right along in with Philip. As the text tells us here, that the disciples responded to Jesus saying in verse 36, "Send the people away and let them go to the nearby farms and villages in order to buy themselves something to eat." So what are all the disciples saying to Jesus? Oh, Jesus, just let them fend for themselves. It's not our problem. Yet in verse 37 in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus says, "You yourselves give them something to eat." And they asked, "Do you want us to spend 200 denarii to feed this crowd?" In other words, they'd been calculating right along with Philip and getting everything straight in their numbers. But what are they really doing? In spite of everything they had experienced with Jesus up to this point, in spite of all his miracles, healing people, turning water into wine, any multitude of things they had experienced firsthand, they were skeptical about the whole situation, were they not? Now, Philip's skepticism continues even at the Last Supper, which, of course, is what we celebrate on Monday, Thursday with our service at 7 o'clock. John chapter 14, verses 7 through 11, the text that was read to you by Phil earlier. Jesus says to the apostles at the close of the supper, "Now that you have known me, you will know my Father also, and from now on you know him, and you have seen him." But Philip, the skeptic, he can't help but chime in and put in his 2 cents worth. Verse 8, "Lord, show us the Father. That's all we need." In spite of all that we have experienced with you, Jesus, Philip is saying,
I want you to do just one more thing. I want to see God. Now, we've already explored the fact that all of these apostles had a deep understanding of Old Testament tradition and story. And so Philip certainly would be thinking in the back of his head about that time in Exodus chapter 33 where Moses says to God, "Please let me see the dazzling light of your presence." But even for Moses, God said in verse 19, "I will make all my splendor pass before you, and in your presence I will pronounce my sacred name. I will not yet let you see my face, because no one can see my face and stay alive. But I will take my hand away, and I will let you see my back, but not my face." Now, what's interesting here, the skeptic, Philip, he's saying, yeah, we've seen you, Jesus, but what we really want to see is God, like Moses. A little bit audacious about this young man named Philip, is it not? Who does he think he is, after all? Is he as great as Moses? Certainly not. Certainly not even in the context of his Hebrew tradition. What I find rather interesting, as we've learned about each of the disciples that we've talked about so far over the last several weeks, isn't it interesting to note that Jesus does not scold Philip? He doesn't put his hands on his hips and say, "Philip, straighten up. Now you've seen me, and so get it right." No, he uses this as a teaching moment, just like Jesus does with the other apostles we've already talked about, when he gently rebukes them or strives to straighten them up in the midst of their thinking. John chapter 14, verse 10. "Do you not believe, Philip, that I am the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I have spoken to you do not come from me. The Father who remains in me does his own work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not, if you don't want to believe me, at least believe the works that you've seen me do." Isn't that proof? This Sunday is Palm Sunday. In Jesus' day, it was called Lambing Day. It was the day in which the Jewish people would choose that unblemished one-year-old lamb that was to be used for the sacrifice and also for the meal of the Passover, shared by family members and friends who may not have had a large enough family. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that day, and he was saying to all who observed that he was to be the one who came in peace, riding on a donkey. And he was saying, "I am the final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of sin." But even as the Pharisees saw Jesus arriving and heard the crowd praising God, they remained skeptical. They were the skeptics because they needed to remain in control. They needed for the status quo to be as it was. They were the skeptics because believing that Jesus was the true Messiah messed up their rules and their regulations. They were the skeptics because believing in Jesus would mean that Jesus was the one the crowds would bow down to and not them. Yes, Philip, the Pharisees, and even many people today like to be skeptics. It's safe being a skeptic. One has only to rely on the faith of oneself when one is a skeptic. Jesus, it's impossible for you to feed the crowd despite the many miracles you've performed. Jesus, it's impossible for us to see God in you, in spite of everything that you do. And yet, just as Jesus was gently speaking to Philip, he's gently speaking to us. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me. If not, believe because of the things that I do. So the sign outside this morning does emphasize that text from John chapter 14, verse 11, and it simply states, believe in Jesus. You see, what the skeptic then and even today really needs to do is simply let go of one's prideful self and completely surrender to the loving, gracious, living presence of God, represented in Christ our Lord. Let your skepticism go. Invite Christ into your heart. Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, today is that day that you can come forward and make that confession of faith. Or today is the day you can come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation. It's number 552, Standing on the Promises, as we sing stanzas 1 and 3, please, 552.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Again, a reminder, 12:30 today in the fellowship hall, Katie is seeking out people to volunteer for that health fair, which is the Saturday after Easter, so just a couple of Saturdays from now. We really just need some volunteers to take care of some various tasks, smaller tasks throughout the process of that fair, which will be from 10 a.m. until 2 o'clock that afternoon. Again, a health fair opened up to everyone in the community, so I sure could use some volunteers to help with that. And then today at 3 o'clock, of course, really everyone is invited to the children's program this morning to celebrate the Easter season. At the beginning of it, here in the sanctuary, several of the children are going to be putting on a play for the Easter season. It'll be fun to watch that and to be a part of that. And then, of course, a number of activities for the children in the fellowship hall below the sanctuary. So please join us this afternoon. May we bow our heads. Merciful God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Guide and direct us as we journey forward on this Palm Sunday, in which we know Christ was chosen to be that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin. For this we are indeed grateful as we journey forward this new week. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
God be with you till we meet again. Loving counsels guide, uphold you. With a shepherd's care unfold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Keep love's banner floating o'er you. Smite death's threatening wave before you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again.